Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray the chaplet together today. And I want to pray for a couple intentions. I'm sure you probably have heard by now that Lisa Marie Presley, the only child of Elvis, died. And she died at the very young age of 54 years of age. She was rushed to the hospital in California. I guess it was yesterday or last night. And she was confirmed dead. And a lot of shock for a lot of people. I mean, it's too young. 54 years of age. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for all the souls in purgatory, those who have certainly gone before us. I also want to pray for a friend. I saw another tweet go out. You might remember Rich Gannon. He was on the program with me last week. We talked about Damar Hamlin. He's a former quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings and the Oakland Raiders, a CBS broadcaster. Here's the tweet. He says, "My wife just forwarded this tweet to me." He says, "Given your relationship to him, I thought you'd want to know." And I'm sorry, that was a friend of mine who forwarded me his tweet. Let me open the tweet real quick. It says, "Would you please pray for my mom?" So, Rich, we are actually praying for you and for your family. And I want to pray for all those in critical conditions. I don't know what the situation is there, but I want to lift up the Gannon family and, in a particular way, his mother. I want to pray for you. I really do. I want to pray that your own prayer life can be enriched. I was reflecting on St. Faustina earlier today when I was spending a little bit of time with the Lord. And one of the ways she prayed, well, one of the things she did, she made her life prayer. I know you say, "Drew, I can't do that. I'm too busy," right? I'm too busy. St. Paul tells us, and I think it's Ephesians 6, you know, pray at all times, right? In the Spirit. And with prayer and petition, you know, make your life a prayer. I was with a mystic one time over in Korea, and she gave me that bit of advice. She says, "Drew, make every day a prayer, every action. When you wake up, begin your day in prayer. Make if you're doing the dishes, offer it to the Lord, right? If you're laboring, make that a prayer." And throughout the diary of St. Faustina, you know, She wrote in one area, she says, you know, she actually believed that she could compel God to grant a grace. That's what she thought. She thought she could compel God to grant a grace by sacrifice and by prayer. And on one occasion, St. Faustina's sister, who had a lot of needs, says, you know, all family members have needs, right? She had one too. She had a sister that had a lot of needs, came to her asking for help. And St. Faustina spent 2 weeks in sacrifice and in prayer for her sister. At the end of 2 weeks, she received everything that she needed without exception. And St. Faustina said that she had compelled Jesus not only to help her sister, but also to change her completely. And that was the fruit of this, right? I want to be careful about how I say this. I'm just sharing you with what Faustina said. She's a great mystic. She's a saint, first saint of the new millennium. But here's what she wrote in Diary 202. She says, "When I reflect on all of this, I see that it was truly a miracle. I can now see how much power intercessory prayer has before God. God wants us to compel him to be merciful by offering constant prayer and sacrifice for others." And that's what we do here, right? We're going to pray for those who have children that are addicted. We're going to pray for those spouses who are dying. We're going to pray for that person that is sick. We're going to pray for that unemployed person. We're going to pray for those who are most in need of God's mercy. And this is what Faustina thought. And this is what she believed. And she says, there's nothing you can't pray for to the Lord that he won't grant you. So let's pray right now for you. All right, I want to pray for your needs, your wants, your desires, your intentions. And I'm going to ask St. Faustina to intercede for us because she often would call upon the intercession of the saints in her prayer life as well. Maggie, anything you want to start off with?
Drew, I have a special intention today. I just want to lift up prayers for my mom. There's just some days I am really in awe of her. She is just full of love and humility, and she's been such a good example for me, and I just ask for special blessings on her.
All right. We'll pray for Mrs. Greshel right now. Lift her up, and she raised a wonderful daughter, Maggie, so I'm sure she's very moved by your prayers. Let's pray for those who've gone before us, and just one or two very important intentions that came in across my radar beginning of the studio here. This person says, you pray for Veronica. She's going to be starting heavy chemo for leukemia as a last resort. Her 17-year-old daughter is asking for a miracle. She's going into hospice at the hospital, and her daughter will not be able to visit her due to her age. So let's pray for that family and the angst and concern they have. And then finally, here's another one. We beg prayers for Heidi Kaiser, Catholic mom of six, now on life support. And here's something I'll talk about next week, because Dr. Tabali was telling me about this. She's on life support from strep A and toxic shock. When my daughter was sick, remember I had mentioned that she was really ill. She had what was probably an ear infection and the flu. Dr. Tabali says strep A is going around, Drew, and she better get to a doctor immediately, because this could turn into something very life-threatening. And now we've got a mother of six on life support, the victim of strep A. Her husband is a teacher in Minnesota. She's been unconscious and on a ventilator and dialysis since the 3rd of January. And this person's simply asking you and me to pray that God miraculously heals her and brings her home to her family. All right, so we will pray now for you and for all these intentions as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. Our first call today comes from Marilyn. She is praying with us in California. Hi, Marilyn. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm a first-time caller into your show. I'm calling because my sister and my... Can you hear me okay?
I can. It's so good to have you. I'll go right ahead.
My sister and my brother-in-law... I got a really quick notice that they had to vacate their building, which they've had in like his business for many, many years.
Wow.
And he's worked very, very hard, and he has large equipment to get moved out and everything else. But anyway, within the next hour or so, he's going to have a meeting with the prospective buyer, and we really think this is a good thing, where he's going to be able to buy his equipment and also hire my brother-in-law, John.
That's great.
We've been praying that something good would happen, and we think this is it. So if God willing, and if everybody can pray for my sister Michelle and my brother-in-law, John, that this all works out well today, the meeting, that would be wonderful. And well, thank you for everything that you guys do.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's so good to pray with you. I'm glad you called. Hope to hear from you again. But we will pray for this intention. And, you know, I often think of that very simple statement that prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. And you got to speak to the Lord, not just with your lips, but with your heart. And you have to ask him. And, of course, we want to submit to God's will, but we also want to pray with that faith. You know, St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you don't see. And then the reward of that faith is to see what you believed, right? So let's believe right now for answered prayers. Let's believe right now for good results. And Lord, I just pray for anyone right now who is trying to sell businesses or homes or property or vehicles, that they're able to get what they're worth. I pray for those who are underemployed and unemployed, those looking for new opportunities and new jobs. Lord, I ask you to just hear the prayers of all your children right now who are crying out to you, who are asking you to hear them. Let this time be an anointed time of prayer, and let it be filled with many graces and answers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Massachusetts. Peter's calling us there. Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I, we've been praying the chaplet and the rosary for our unborn son. He was breached, and today we received great news. The baby is head down, so God is good. And I also would like to pray for you, Maggie, and all the needs of Relevant Radio. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Congratulations, Peter. Thank you for calling in with that answered prayer. And Lord, I trust this child, Peter's son, to your merciful heart. I ask that you just allow that child to be guided and guarded by your mercy all the days of his life. We pray for Peter. And I give you thanks for the answered prayers that are taking place. I'm so grateful when you call in and you share these answered prayers, because it builds my faith, and I know it builds so many others. And you can write to me, drew@relevantradio.com, and send, you know, in the memo line, answered prayer or praise report or whatever you want, and tell me how God heard your prayer. Because we get answered prayers just about every day here, and we're so grateful for that. Tonight, I'm going to be praying the rosary along with Maggie. And so if you need some extra prayer, or you want to share your answered prayer with us, feel free to do that as well. We'd love to have you. I'll be on tonight sitting in for Father Rocky, so we'll do a double shot of prayer. But right now, Lord, we pray in thanksgiving for the gift of prayer, for the power of prayer, for these answered prayers. I pray for all those having problems with their children, and especially those who are having problems in utero or with fertility or pregnancy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to Richard, who's praying in Cold Spring, Minnesota, Maggie, what's coming in? Oh, before you even tell us, let me tell people, if you don't get through on the phone lines, I know they're stacked right now. Our Twitter handle is @DrewMarianiShow, @DrewMarianiShow. You can follow me @DrewMariani as well. But send Maggie those prayer intentions. She'll give voice to them. And, of course, they'll be added to all the other intentions that come in our prayers.
That's right.
So what can we pray for?
Mary needs prayers for special protection, provision, and strength. We need to pray for her husband and her children. It's a very important intention of reconciliation and healing. Manuela says, good afternoon, Drew and staff, requesting a miracle prayer for Maria de los Angeles, who is 8 months pregnant and her pregnancy is threatened by placenta previa. She resides in a rural area in Mexico where healthcare is limited. Jesus, we trust in you. John is asking for prayers for the millions of unpaid and unrecognized family caregivers, and for the toll that it takes on their lives. I thought that was a really good intention. And Gracie says, Drew, could you please pray for me in your chaplet today? I would be so grateful. I'm having a rough time. I need to feel more healthy. Too many viruses are getting the best of me these days. God bless and thank you.
Well, you got it. More than glad. I want to pray for a friend of mine, too, who texted me last night. He's having a knee replacement. So, Bob, we're praying for you, for your family, and let's pray for all those who are sick, all those who are under the weather. Let's pray that God mitigates this variant XBB 1.5 that's now out, and strep A and all these other things that seem to be plaguing us. It's so weird. It's like we're living in a time of war and rumor of war and natural disasters and strange diseases. And Lord, I just ask that you hold back your hand, that you show us mercy, not justice. Richard in Cold Springs, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you.
Thanks.
We love you, and I pray for Relevant Radio every day and all the things you do. We appreciate it. I'd like to pray for my wife who has macular degeneration from Langley and glaucoma, and the other one, and one of the glaucoma is Motena ready. And I pray for a miracle. My wife doesn't feel that there's a miracle in the world for her, and I want to prove her wrong.
No.
So, and reversion of all the families that come back to the Catholic Church. Right. And everybody in the world, thank you.
I love it, Richard. Thank you so much. We'll pray for that beautiful wife of yours, okay? And we'll lift you up and how much you love her. Lord, I pray for those who have macular degeneration, those battling glaucoma, those who have any problems of the eye. And today I really ask that you send that spirit out to restore vision. I ask you to take the scales off the eyes of us that are spiritually blind, that we may see truth and follow it. I pray for Richard and his family. I love the way he ended his prayer. It's a perfect prayer. I used to pray the same prayer when I was a young child. Please help everybody in the whole wide world, because it covers everything, doesn't it? Lord, mercy. Mercy on the world. And just bless Richard, and we pray for conversion as we turn to you now. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Adele, Wisconsin. Stephen, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. Got a couple of prayer intentions for today. It's for my wife's grandfather. Found out that he's not doing very well. They don't expect him to be making it too much longer. Also want to pray for the reconciliation between my wife and I. We're currently going through a separation. It's been very hard on the kids. Just want to pray for everybody else that has called in, get their prayer intentions answered.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I'm sorry for what you're going through, especially with your wife. Keep praying. You know, just keep praying. I believe this is a prayer that the Lord hears and he answers. Pray deep, pray big, trust big. Ask God to remove whatever the obstacle is, whatever the wound, whatever the hurt is in that relationship. And St. Faustina, you promised that your mission would continue after death, that you would not forget us. You know, that you would pull back the veils of heaven so that we would not wound with our distrust the most merciful heart of our Lord. I give you, Stephen, in every relationship right now that is broken or troubled, and I ask that God today send torrents of grace to bring reconciliation and healing, to allow new beginnings. I pray for those who are sick and those who you're calling home, for all the intentions he voiced, and all those united with me now. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Her next call comes from Hammond, Indiana. Linda, welcome.
God bless you, Drew and Maggie, for all you do.
Thank you.
I have a friend. She's a Jehovah Witness, mm-hmm. and she hung up on me yesterday because I was talking about the Holy Rosary, mm-hmm. and she kept arguing with me about that's not in the Bible.
Right.
So I would like to pray for Sarah, please.
Yeah, well, we'll pray for her for sure. And Linda, let's pray for, again, this intention of healing relationships is coming up. But the rosary, you can tell her, it is Christocentric. John Paul II said, as we pray the rosary, what we're doing is we're meditating on the life, the face of Christ through the eyes of Our Lady. It's a very beautiful way of praying. And take a look at the mysteries in which you meditate on. You know, they're all about Jesus, right? But we'll pray for that. And I'm grateful for your call. And Lord, I ask you, just heal wounds, brokenness, division. Satan loves to divide. That is his hallmark. And I just ask for mercy in that relationship. You can reunite it. And allow Linda to restore that. Gloria is in Warminster, Pennsylvania. She's praying with us there. Good afternoon, Gloria.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling for my my nephew George. His wife Emily. She's in hospice. She's like in her 40s, 42, and she's dying from liver disease. She has five children from like 5 years old to 17, and we're just praying for either a healing or the blessing to take her where she has her God's mercy. And I'm praying for the conversion of my husband, Eric, my daughter, Olivia, my daughter, Grace, and Grace's anxiety and depression. Thanks,
well,
Drew.
You got it. God bless you. We'll lift up all those intentions, those approaching the threshold of eternal life. And again, for conversion. I mean, it's really quite amazing how many of these prayers are coming in today for broken relationships and for healing. And you know, one of the things St. Faustina also wrote about that was sometimes sacrifice is necessary. Sometimes, you know, to bring about a conversion, in addition to our prayer, sacrifice can amplify that. But it's a prayer that the Lord says he always hears and always answers. Jen in Wisconsin, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
I'll keep it short. I wanted to pray for a couple of families at our children's school whose parents are dealing with cancer, and also ask prayers for our 15-year-old child who has been sick for over 5 months, and the doctors have not found anything to help his symptoms. They have not found a diagnosis. So we're just wading through this with a lot of trust in God right now, and could use some extra prayers. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you. We're with you. Okay, Jen, we'll pray for you and for your beautiful family. And you know, as a parent, I know what it's like when your child's sick. It's hard, but for 5 months, that's absolutely heartbreaking and devastating. Lord, I give to you this mother, and right now I give to you everyone on hold, everyone who is written, and everyone now united to me. You promised that the graces of your mercy would be drawn down by one very simple thing, one vessel. And that's trust. You said if we trusted, then you would give us all that we need. So together as your children, we come together, making ourselves dependent on your trust, on our trust. We ask you to entrust ourselves to you completely. We make ourselves dependent on your mercy. And we trust you. And I just give you the needs of my heart and everyone else's as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Two quick things here. One, if you know someone or are struggling with pornography, you have to listen to what I'm going to share with you in a second here, okay? But secondly, please join Maggie and I tonight. We're going to be back in about 3.5 hours to pray the rosary. And it's an honor to be able to sit in for Father and to pray the rosary across America. And feel free to join me. I'll be on at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, okay? And we'd love to pray again. Bring these intentions. If you didn't get through right now, try giving us a buzz and maybe we'll get you to air. It's, you know, the rosary today and the chaplet. Two great prayers to move the heart of God. All that's coming up. I'm going to share an email when I come back on the other side. I got from somebody. And ladies, I don't think you're going to like it. And my other producer, who's a male, he cringed when he heard it. But we'll talk about it. And if you know somebody struggling with pornography, therapy for porn addiction is skyrocketing. I'll tell you about some new data. And we're going to get into that and a whole lot more. Plus, we'll talk COVID coming up. Why are so many people still dying from, you know, COVID or strange anomalies after their vaccine? I'm just going to raise a question or two. We'll look at that and more. Stay with me.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Last time you were here, and I know you've spoken about this in the past, you talked about going through a period of being addicted to porn.
Yes.
I wonder what, and it's funny because during the break, you were saying that you've been married 30 years, yeah, which is incredible. At what point in your marriage did that come upon you?
Oh, well, when my wife walked out. Yeah, she was okay. Like, I'm done with you. And you know, it was something that the porn use led to me being unfaithful years earlier.
Okay.
And what happened was, after years of hiding and not saying anything, she confronted me. She was like, what is it I don't know about you, Terry Crews? And I told her.
Wow.
And she was like, that's it, I'm out. And I was like, you know what, then go on, bye. And you know what happened? I was literally thinking, my God, you know what, it's her fault, isn't it? But you know, I realized it was me.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I knew I had to change. And I had a friend who told me, he said, you need to get better for you, man. And I went to rehab. I was like, I need to break this. And it was something that, it was a stronghold, but I thank God I'm out of it. And I learned how to you know, you learn that you've learned a lot of wrong things. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And I learned to correct them. And now my wife and I are better than ever. We're back together, super strong. And you know, it's wild because you can't keep secrets in a relationship.
Yeah, I love that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You might know Terry Crews, an actor, comedian there, sharing very powerfully. There's a new law in Louisiana requires that anybody who wants to get on a website where a third of the content is pornographic material, the person has got to now verify his age. And that gets done through an app called LA Wallet, La Wallet, which is the Pelican State's digital driver's license. And if the site allows somebody underage to visit, the law allows a parent to sue the business. Last month in Utah, the senator there, Mike Lee, introduced a couple of bills to address the scourge that we're seeing right now in our country of pornography on a national level. One act would require companies to adopt age verification technology like Louisiana, and the other would actually, you know, define into U.S. law what obscene material is. and it would enable prosecution of obscene content transmitted across state lines or from foreign countries. So the reason this needs to happen is pretty simple. I think we're beginning to see the fruit of it. Pornography is ruining people's lives. And there's an example in the UK where a therapy organization called UK Addiction Treatment Group, ever since the pandemic, they've seen their numbers, right? And this is actually a good thing. They've seen the numbers of people seeking treatment for porn addiction go through the roof. Now, I don't know whether the pandemic exacerbated issues, but I guarantee you that there's somebody in your family right now that's looking at pornography. I guarantee you it. You know, not a doubt in my mind. And this stuff is like, it's like crack, right? It's super addictive, and it's progressive, and that's the problem with it. You know, you start looking at something, and then that's not enough, and the boundaries of where you were looking begin to get pushed. The frequency might go up, begins to change your mindset, your worldview towards women or to, you know, to men, all sorts of things. It warps the mind. It also has a physiological effect on the brain. And in just a moment, Bruce Hahnemann and Jeannie Hahnemann are going to join me. There's a great organization out there I want to get you plugged into. They've done a lot of brain science on this. But this UK Addiction Treatment Group, they got a number of locations, and the report I saw said they were just overloaded. They have so many people coming in for help because it's ruining their marriage and their life, right? They can't take on more clients. They just can't do it. In 2020, here's a ballpark number, that they saw 10,500 people for treatment. The following year, check this number out, they saw 36,000 people. That's a 250% increase. According to the group, it's the second most common addiction that men seek treatment for, right behind alcohol. So, and I'm, you know, I bet my house on this that the numbers are similar here in the U.S. There's a group out there called Common Sense Media, and they were revealing earlier this week that nearly 3/4 of all teens in our country consume pornography. I mean, a man's frontal cortex, it's not done even developing until he's, what, 25 or older? And you're talking about a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 16, 17, 18-year-old seeing things online that he should probably or she should never see? How's that warping their view of the other sex, or what's it do to whet maybe a deviant appetite or just affect their development? I mean, you can go down all sorts of lanes here. You know, if you've ever looked at pornography, maybe it was accidental. You probably remember that first image, right? You definitely remember the first exposure. A lot of times it's accidental. They're browsing social media the kids, but I think the first exposure to porn, I think it's 12 years of age now, I think. It could even be younger. But let me get our experts on. They're co-founders of a great group. And if you are struggling with pornography, I want to get you plugged in. It's called Reclaim. Reclaim Your Sexual Health. Okay, their website, reclaimsexualhealth.org. And it's a wonderful Catholic ministry. It helps people recover from compulsive sexual behaviors. And Bruce and Jeannie Hahnemann joined me today. They're co-founders of it. Good to have you both back. Welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Drew. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. I want to deal with a little bit of news first, because I'm seeing a change in the culture. Okay, we know pornography is rampant, but now I'm seeing in Louisiana this age verification law. I think it's a great step. I don't know how serious it's going to be. I mean, I'm sure there's ways around it. What do you make of the laws? The senator in Utah, of course, trying to get legislation passed. How effective do you think they're going to be? How important are they?
Well, we do need to start somewhere, I guess.
All right, Bruce, you first. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I was going to say is we do need to start somewhere. Taking baby steps, taking any steps at all, is a step in the right direction. Eventually, we need to carry this through, though, at least from our perspective, to the fact that, sin is sin, regardless of whether it is a little bit of pornography or 30% online or whatever else the parameters are. We eventually have to, you know, hone in on this and make some sense out of it. But simply legislating our behaviors is only, it's calling attention to a problem, and it's getting people looking at it and getting people to start getting more serious about controlling it. But obviously, we're going to need to go a lot further than that.
Yeah. So, Jeannie, or Bruce, whoever, explain the science behind what's happening with pornography. I mean, why so many people have become so addicted to it. We know the bad fruit of it, and it's really become quite prolific. It doesn't matter the gender, the faith, the age. It's something that is consumed and, as I point out, incredibly destructive and addictive.
Well, Drew, what's going on is like any other chemically-based substance that we take into our body, the difference between something like crack, which you mentioned a little earlier, is that, you know, it's a chemical coming, we're taking in from outside our body. But when we consume pornography, we are calling forth the same kinds of reward chemistry within our body, only it's coming right from within us. So actually, it's an internally formed type of chemistry, and that's why it has such profound effects on our body.
Jeannie?
So
I think one of the things we really have to address on this is that even though we call it sex addiction or compulsive sexual behavior, it's not really always about sexuality. It's usually really about dealing with emotions in a particular way that gives the soothing that a person needs from some kind of trauma, adverse childhood experiences. If we back it up to understand what's going on, we realize that much more than legislation is needed, but it's a great start. Much more than helping people who are hooked on unhealthy sexual behaviors is needed. And that means we have to go back to the very beginning, to a little baby born into a family, getting the nurturing and the loving and the care so that their autonomic nervous systems are not damaged by unhealthy and unholy experiences.
Yeah, my guests, Jeannie and Bruce Hahnemann, we'll take your calls for them too. If you're struggling, if you need help, there's also a physiological component to this as well. Actually, the brain does change, and we'll tell you about that coming up. But you can get in right now at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Bruce, Jeannie, I'm going to take just a short pause. When we come back on the other side, we can pick it up there. We'll talk much more. As I said, this is a epidemic. We're seeing some real changes happening on the national level. But I think there's some good news out there. People are recognizing they can't do this alone. They need help. And therapy is on the rise, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, I would recommend to anybody who's not finding the freedom from their addiction to seek both therapy and the healing of God, if you're Catholic, and the sacrament of reconciliation.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, your life connected.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Coming up, we'll be dealing with COVID. Top of the next hour, and why so many people, even after being vaccinated, are having earlier sudden deaths. Right now, if you're just joining me, I came across a couple things that I just thought would be good for us to talk about. Not only the legislation happening across the country, age verification, a whole lot more, in an attempt to try to bridle porn use. I don't think that, you know, you can put that into effect. I still think people are going to find a way to get it. What struck me was that therapy for porn addiction is skyrocketing. This is post-pandemic. And some of the data that I have seen recently indicate that 73% of teens, 3 out of 4 teens consume pornography. The average age, is 12 years old for first exposure to porn. That means kids a lot younger are seeing this. And this is a problem, and it's getting worse. If you look around your church, I guarantee you, you know, you take a look at, I probably think, you know, half the men there, 3 out of 4, are probably struggling with it. Doesn't make them bad people. It means they need the strategies and the treatment to rise above this. And to me, it's so deeply rooted in the spiritual. And the reason I say that is because Satan, he hates a pure heart. He does. He hates purity. Hates it. And this is one of his greatest weapons today in this technological age. And he is destroying families and just marriages and lives. That's fundamentally what it is. So that's why I think the sacraments are so important, a spiritual approach to this, the use of sacramentals. But my guests today, Bruce and Jeannie Hahnemann, are joining us. We'll take a couple of your calls here, too, for them. They're actually training parishes on how to help deal with the issue, because I think it's a great place to approach it, you know? And again, if you need the privacy, there's groups like Reclaim. There's, you know, there's certainly counseling out there that can give you strategies to rise above this as well. But Bruce and Jeannie, I want to talk about the science behind this. But before I do, I understand that you're going to be giving seminars, or you're actually coaching certain parishes on how to deal with this. I mean, how does that work?
Well, right, just as you said, Drew, you know, how COVID increased people's use of pornography, but it also increased the awareness of the dangers of it. So we saw both. So we've been busy as busy can be with our ministry. Now, Reclaim Sexual Health has this online healing program based on scientific ways, brain exercises designed by brain scientists from Harvard to retrain the brain so that it is able to move out of an addiction or a compulsion to these unhealthy sexual behaviors. But what we also know is we need to have community support, because Bruce maybe in a minute can share a little bit about the Rat Park study and what scientifically we learned about that. But what we've really come to learn and know as a culture today is the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is community. And so with that knowledge, it's going to take a continuum of care is what we refer to it. It's going to take everybody fighting this kind of a problem. And so we realized and have been getting more and more requests, and so we're moving forward with piloting that with a beautiful, active parish in Virginia who are creating our Zechariah missionaries to the domestic church. And so we're going to be piloting the training starting this evening. So I ask for prayers from your listeners to train parish members who have volunteered to be mentors to parents, teens, and young adults navigate this pornography culture with Catholic clarity. Because our culture has normalized sexual promiscuity to such a degree with our TV shows, our movies, everything promoting that we really need to be speaking loud, be silent no more is kind of one of our slogans, and come out to defend the Catholic teachings on sexuality that so many don't even know or understand, and to be able to counter this demonic attack on the beautiful gift God gave us for procreation.
Amen. Let me grab a call or two for you here, too, before we run out of time. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Philadelphia first. Ellen, good afternoon. You're on the air with the Hahnemanns.
Hi, Drew. My question is, at what age could you start talking to your children about porn?
I think you need to start talking to your children about healthy sexuality as soon as you start teaching them body parts. You teach them girl parts, boy parts. You teach them the dignity of their body, the dignity of procreation with age-appropriate kind of explanations. Because too often we start with the poison. We have to first start with the healthy. It's like when they're trying to train people on how to see money that's counterfeit, they don't train the people by looking at counterfeit money. They look at real money till they know it so well they can tell when it's counterfeit.
Yeah.
So we need to begin teaching healthy sexuality to our children at a very, very young age. My family, we raised our daughters, our grandchildren are being raised this way. They understand at an age-appropriate way the gift God has given for procreation, starting when they're 2 years old.
Yeah, and Bruce, I want your take, too, and because I'm still trying to cram a lot in this little period of time. For people who say, I'm trying to get over this, right? I'm trying to rise above this addiction, but I keep going back again and again. You know, there's a brain science to this as well, and I know there's been a lot of studies that have been done. There have been actual brain scans. I know that when one prays, they were doing MRI studies, when one prayed the rosary, it would show how different areas of the brain would light up and how it affected the brain. Pornography has quite the opposite effect on the brain, doesn't it? What's it actually do to the brain?
What happens, Drew, is that it accents the response system, the pleasure center of our brain, which is at a subcortical level. It's below the level of our frontal cortexes, which is where all our logic and reasoning and morality and stuff reside. It bypasses that. It goes right to kind of a conditioned response system. And so what we need to do is we need to do things that will reengage that common sense, the CEO, if you'll call it, of our brain, to get it up and running so that we can discern and make choices, use our free will that God gave us as our free will again, take back charge of that part of our brain. And that's because the brain chemistry shuts down, the brain chemistry of the addictions and those behaviors shut down that frontal cortex. And so it takes very deliberate actions and practice to bring that all back online. Pretty much like if you got a weak limb after an injury or something, it takes physical exercise to rehabilitate that portion of your body. We need to rehabilitate our brain as well.
Weren't there scans that show the brain for men who actively look at pornography, the brain gets, how do I describe this? The gray matter changes, or there's almost holes in the, it's not holes. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, there was saw an image, but I don't know the words to describe what I was seeing.
Sure. What you saw, functional MRIs show which portions of the brain are actively receiving blood flow and have proper temperature and metabolism and whatever. And when they scan someone who has this addiction, what they find is that frontal cortex portion of their brain no longer has any continuous blood flow. There's, you know, large areas that are actually shutting down at that point in time. And so there's no more biochemistry occurring within those segments of the brain. And what you referred to a little bit earlier about prayer and whatever is a study that was done where someone who actively went through the days, decades of the rosary was actually rescanned and shown that portions of that blood flow were returning to that frontal cortex just from the 20 minutes it took to do that day's Mysteries of the Rosary.
And Jeannie, to that point, I mean, there is this problem with the brain. It can heal. But I also noticed that, you know, that we're seeing the rate of sexual dysfunction, erectile dysfunction on the rise in the culture at large, you know, the Viagra, all the medications to help men with that. A lot of that, and we're seeing 26-year-old guys that need that. We're seeing young men, 20-year-olds, who should never need medication because it's not a coronary thing. It's not a blood flow issue. Mm-hmm. It's really in the head. So is ED directly related to pornography? And then in terms of healing, if you can separate yourself from this, do things return to normal?
Absolutely, Drew. Erectile dysfunction is very strongly connected with masturbation, which is the act that's done when you're using pornography, right? And what it establishes is an arousal template that is not according to God's plan, and it's not with your lifelong spouse, right? And so it does cause that. And, you know, natural law always wins out. There's all these horrible things, but really the truth will always rise to the surface. And so many, many people, not for a moral or religious reason, are starting to say pornography is destroying my ability to be intimate, my ability to have relationships, to enjoy life, to, you know, all of that stuff. And so as a result of that, that's why we're seeing a lot of people going through our program to find that freedom. And yes, we can testify it in our own marriage, in our own relationship, that once you do that healing, God's plan for the way male and female are to come together in intimacy during marriage, it returns.
Awesome.
And it returns with a greater degree of blessing because you know what it was like to lose that connection.
Amen. Mike in South Dakota, he's got a testimony for you. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I do have a testimony, and this is a gift from God that happened to me, which a few months ago I asked for deep sin from Father Rocky's at 7 a.m. or at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And that didn't help too much, and I went back to looking at porn. And it's a bit of a story, if you guys don't mind.
No, and I only have about a minute for you. Mike, if you can give me the thumbnail, I'd appreciate it because I'm just about out of time for my second.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been looking at this poisonous for years.
Okay.
And I think I brought in something evil for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, it got so bad, then I went to the dark net. Mm-hmm. And that was better. It was so much worse. You can't imagine what's on there. Well, anyway, your last fun drive,
yes.
I gave some money, and the wife and I said, please pray for me, my porn addiction. And after that was the end of it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that, Mike, I'll tell you something. That's a miracle, is what it is, to go from poor news to the dark web, seeking the healing. God in his mercy, you know, he can work miracles. And for anyone who's listening, I just want to say that to you. You might think this has got me, Drew. It's more powerful than me. There's nothing I can do. Well, God's more powerful than it, and there is healing. If you're Catholic, I say get to the sacrament of reconciliation. Seek the healing you need. And also, if you can, regardless of your faith, get the help that you might need. And Bruce and Jeannie, I have about a minute for you at the very most. ReclaimSexualHealth.org, that's a great resource for a lot of people, isn't it?
It's ReclaimSexualHealth.com.
.com, thank you.
And also for the spouses to go to NavigateBetrayal.com. So that you can find the healing that you need if you're the one acting out with unhealthy sexual behaviors, or you can find the healing if it's your spouse that's acting out and you've been betrayed. And then I'd invite your listeners also to go to either website, contact us through those websites. If they would like to find out how to help their church create missionaries for the domestic church on this issue.
All right, well, I got to leave it right there. Bruce, good talking with you. Jeannie, thank you again for your insight and your witness and for all that you're doing to help. There is hope. There is freedom. I got to take a short pause. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. Stay with me. I'll be right back.